This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome to Couples of Destiny. I'm Terry. My husband, Calvin, is not with me today, but I have a wonderful guest here with me in the studio, and I'm going to let you introduce yourself to you in a minute, but we're here to help you thrive in your calling without having to burn out, right? So with me being your host, we're going to dive into something every family needs, but very few people talk about: staying mentally healthy in your marriage and in your relationship with your children. So with me today, it's an honor to serve here at this pulpit. This is Radio Cape Pulpit. Can you believe that? I'm thinking this morning of pulpit, Sharon, and here's Radio Cape Pulpit. We just want to welcome you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I look forward to this time together.
Awesome. We're just going to break for a short song, and we'll be back in a minute. As I said, here with me today is my dear friend. She's a sister, a purpose partner, and she is a goal friend. Not just a goal friend, because we like having goals, knowing where we're going, right, Sharon?
Yes.
So, yes, she is. Tell us about yourself.
Yes, Terry, we are girlfriends and goal friends. I agree. Yes, I'm Sharon Williams with Act for the Nations. I am the founder and executive director, and we help women and children around the world. We do that by putting together teams of women with the skill set to accomplish the task, and we go around the world to different places, helping leaders and rescued women and doing retreats and conferences, whatever the need is in that country. Mm-hmm. And we partner with locals like yourself, Terry.
Yeah.
I'm so honored to be here in South Africa with you.
Wonderful. Thank you. You know, Sharon has come, and we've just recently had our women's boot camp, Go Get Your Groove Back, and the theme was Beautiful Minds. For those of you who have been there at the camp can attest to the amazing and dynamic work that Acts for Nations is doing throughout the world, and we were so honored to have you and your team. It's been amazing. Well, I'm also part of the team, you know, but we'll get into that a little bit later. So, Sharon, I want to speak about today. Our topic basically is on mental health. This month, it's Mental Wellness Month, you know, awareness and making people aware of things, because so many people struggle with mental health issues and they never talk about it. For others, for some, it's taboo. They never want to go into that space. Like, I'm okay, you know, they have this lie, put up a facade and hide their emotions and feelings and what they're really going through. And at the end of the day, they sit in a huge depression state and all of those mental illnesses. So without us having to burn out, how are we finding balance? And all of that is very important as women of God and couples in the marriage, in a relationship with children. I want you to share with us today about what you think. How can we and how do you set boundaries with your children versus ministry, children versus marriage, you know? Mm-hmm. How does that work for you?
Yes, it's difficult. I mean, honestly. And I think all of us as women, we are multitaskers. God created us that way. And we have to manage all of the different assets of our lives, whether it's children, grandchildren, husband, ministry, girlfriends. There's so many. Extended family, even. And how do we do that? You know, it's not a 50%, 50% children in ministry or family in ministry, because you have to deal with it moment by moment. There are some times when our children really need us and we need to set aside ministry and be there for them or our husbands. Mm-hmm. And there are other times when the ministry really needs us. And so the children, the husbands, the others have to understand that. I even have girlfriends that I won't talk to for months, because I just have so much going on. And then when I pick up with them, they understand. They don't feel neglected because they know my life. And I think we have to establish that so that we keep the right precedence for people, so that when we try to balance, they understand. The people within our close relationships understand. Right now, I don't have the time, but there will come a time when I will have time just for you.
Right.
And we have to be intentional with that as well. You know, there's a time when that one child, I raised four, and there's a time when that one really needs some attention from mama. And you have to recognize that and discern that situation. And at that moment, it's critically important that you set aside everything else. Somebody else can go and minister to that one in the hospital. Someone else can go and do the Bible study. You need to be with that child. And equally important, there may be a crisis in your ministry. And the children have to understand, not now, mama's busy.
Yeah.
And it's just that balance you have to learn to create.
Yeah. I think it's really important to know that children understand what your ministry is and not make them feel like ministry is not a nice thing. You know, they feel like, oh, no, I don't like ministry because my parents never had time for me, or the couples don't have time for each other. Oh, you're going to prayer meeting. Oh, I'm going to this meeting and I've got this thing going on and you've got that thing going on. And how do you and your husband navigate that, you know, even with you being a traveling minister, you know, in your space, how do you stay sane, for the lack of a better word, you know, in this mental health awareness month, you know, how do you stay sane?
I think the key is, you know, to walk by the Spirit, number one, let God guide you. Also, the relationship, especially with your spouse, must be open communication. Right. It must be secure in relationships. You know, with our children, I see so many people in full-time ministry where the children resent the ministry. And that's because they were forced. Our children were never forced. It was almost like it was a privilege to be at the house of God. It was welcomed, and they were included in our ministry. It wasn't that they felt dragged behind us while mom and dad did ministry, but we included them in it, and they were able to pray with children. They were able to share their faith, testimonies. You know, find a way to include your children in the ministry so they don't feel in competition.
Yeah, I like that because, you know, I always just say to my kids, if I had to go out on a call or someone is having need or whatever, then I would say to them, I know we wanted to do this particular lunch date or whatever, but, you know, isn't it an honor to serve the Lord that we can just be a blessing to someone else? Can I just go and be a blessing to someone and I'll come back and be the mom, you know, kind of thing. So you always have to try and navigate through those kind of, you're not telling a lie. You're just not saying to them, oh, no, I've got to go. Church is calling. Ministry is calling, you know. And what I also feel like my husband and I have been very cognizant of that in the beginning. We never did it. You know, we used to talk about the church and the people while we're driving home from church. And it's like, oh, you know, this and that and that. And then the children would cringe in the back seat. We never knew this until they voiced it. And then the one, my one daughter just said, Mom, so that person that you were speaking about, you know, how are they doing? And I'm like, oh, my goodness, did we just burden our children with something? And that was early ministry mistakes we all make, you know. And then we said, no longer will we talk about anything like that, but anything that edifies and builds people up. I like what the Word of God says in 1 Timothy 3:4-5. It says, he must manage his household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church?
That is so profound. We really do have to see it as ministry. And many times we separate the two. Family is not ministry. Only when we're at the church is it ministry. And that's just not true. You know, family is a part of our ministry. We need to be aware of that and minister to our husbands, something we don't do much, and minister to our children.
Yeah, that ministry to the husband, yeah, that's a big deal, deal, you know. And I think when they feel valued and when they feel that they are needed, you know, then I think the relationship also will flow better, and you respect each other's giftings and callings, you know. So I won't, for example, get too upset if he's too long at a meeting, or why must it take so long, you know. Is he not considerate of me? So easily our mind can run away with us, you know, or there are people that, like I say, always, you know, ruminating thoughts or something that can get people in a bad emotional and mental state because they're continually thinking and going back to, oh, in the past this happened or that happened. So is it happening now? You know, is it relevant for now? But cut out those negative thoughts. Be present. If he's doing the will of the Lord, speak to God about those kind of things, you know, and not badmouth him or shout at him when he comes in. So some women can be too emotional and temperamental, you know. So mental wellness, to maintain that in a marriage, I think is two-way. You know, speak about what your day was like. How did I feel when you said this and that about me? Or how did you feel when I said this and that? You know, so being open-minded about that. But I think just application of all of these things, you know, for me, it's important to schedule family time. It's like having a Sabbath rest. you know, spending time with family together. My mom always had this thing about, oh, can we just all get together once a month for a potluck or for a lunch or something, you know. And I think that is something that will remain. It's a legacy that you build on your family. Then you can have your meals with your church family. Different thing, you know, so balancing the two, and not just if you imbalance, it's if you're just giving too much to ministry and to church and out there and not to the family, it's a broken chain. There's something is not going to work. It's not going to sustain you, you know, but regularly checking in with our spouse and children about how they feel concerning our ministry commitments, you know, is important. And I think that the children, when they understand your ministry calling, your kids, for example, understands your ministry calling. You've got to travel, you know. At what age? I mean, how long have you been traveling? Since when?
Full-time since 2010. When my children were younger, we were missionaries. We lived overseas, and so they traveled with us.
Oh, wow.
And so they spent time, you know, going to different places and experiencing different cultures, and it was a beautiful, beautiful time together.
So they saw firsthand what mom and dad were doing.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. Yes. Well, you know, being intentional about us, we model the role. We model God for them, you know, and I think when they see that, you know, then they have a better insight. My daughter, when she first heard my testimony about why I was called to the nations, you know, I explained to her what happened to me. She's like, oh my goodness, mom, now I understand what you're doing. But we're going to take a short break and we'll be back with this conversation. So we're back, and here we are with Sharon Williams from Act for Nations. What a wonderful topic, Sharon. I'm really inspired by what you're saying to the listeners today about your traveling, how your children traveled with you. That is amazing. What an opportunity for them also to see the world, you know?
Yes.
And let's tell us more about that.
Oh, well, I think it was very eye-opening for them to be able to see different cultures and experience that. But it also helped them to have a heart for the things of God, because they saw us in ministry. They were a part of it. And even, you know, during the prayer times, our children would pray for the children in the group. And they saw us, you know, doing evangelism, and they saw firsthand what we were doing. I think many leaders tend to have the children at home, and they go out and do the ministry, and the children resent it because they're left alone, and they don't realize what mom and dad are doing. They think we're off playing, having a great time, and leaving them out. And they need to understand what the ministry looks like and what we're doing, and that God can use them right now when they're young if we will allow that.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, I'm laughing here. I'm thinking about a time when I took my one daughter, Louise. In fact, I had packed some of her clothing and toys that she wasn't playing with any longer, and packed all these things. You know, when we go on outreach, we go and bless the children, give them things. And I took them along because they also need to experience this and all of that, you know. So they were joyful and playing in the park with the kids. They enjoyed it. And as we were handing out the clothing and the things, Louise came running to me crying. I said, "What's the matter?" She's, "Mom, that girl has my Barbie doll." And I'm like, oh my goodness, did I not communicate with her that we're giving these away? And then I had to sit with her. I had to leave the outreach and I had to go and sit with her and explain to her why that Barbie doll landed there. Then when we got home, she unpacked all of her toys. Then she felt like she could give everything away. Wow. So look at the impact when when they see, you know, it's like Jesus says, whatever you see me do, what you've heard me do, what you heard me say, you do this so the peace of God can be with you. I love that about our Lord. You know, he has such a sense of humor as well. You know, there's a thing about how many people have this thing about PKs, you know, preachers' kids. And they never wanted to be known as preachers' kids because there was this cliche attached to it, you know. And I said to her, is it a good or a bad thing? I said, you can use that as an open door to minister to them, you know. And then we started helping them, saying, when people say this, this is how you can respond in love. You know, don't react, rather act in love. So, Sharon, you know, you were speaking about resentment. You know, that's quite deep.
Yes.
You know, there are many children, even adults, the couples themselves resent themselves, or they resent each other, they resent the children, or they resent their leaders. Tell us about how that works in your world.
I think resentment comes from selfishness. You know, we're trying to control or protect or lift ourselves. And so we see the negative of the situation. And so we think we are being left out. We think we are not being valued. And those are the real issues that we have to deal with. I think once we realize the the truth of the matter and we find our security in God, then we're good with making those sacrifices, like the Barbie doll from your daughter, because we understand. And so it's really a mindset. Mm-hmm. And we have to go from the negative, what I don't have, to the positive of what I do have. Mm-hmm. And what an incredible blessing, you know, for children to be raised in the ministry with parents. It gives them such a head start in the life of their relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And it's really a blessing. But so many times we just see the lack instead of what we really have.
That's so true. You know, I think a lot of people can probably attest to that, because to prevent resentment in children, they have to see ministry as a blessing. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say that when you resent something or someone, and you're so right in saying that it's selfishness, because the fact that they don't want to accept that what that person is doing or what they are saying is actually okay. You can't always have it your way, you know?
Yes.
And that is when people start resenting others because they can't have their way.
Exactly. And, you know, that's the whole thing about being a believer, is we gave up the rights to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is now in control. God is the one who directs us. So we don't get our way, but we get his way, which is so much better.
Yeah.
You know, when we were first married and my husband was in full-time ministry and I was at home with the babies, I used to resent that because I thought he was out there doing the work of the Lord and having incredible exploits, you know, for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And I'm changing diapers. This is not right. And I felt like I was missing out until I realized, you know, as I said before, ministry at home is equally important.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a pouring into those children that only a mama can do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a place where you bring them into the presence of God and into a place of faith that you need to see that as a calling as well.
That's true. That is so true. You know, I think we need to be so cognizant of that in every aspect of our life, be it your husband or your children, you know, that your friends even. Your friends can resent you. You know, there are people that I resented in my past. I had to make peace with it and accept, okay, that happened to me. I'm going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is, whoever is listening out there, you may be resenting your spouse. You might be resenting your children. Or children, you might be resenting your parents. Get into a place of saying, you know what, I accept them for who they are. They belong to God. I cannot change them. No matter how many tantrums we throw, no matter how many times you want to bless, curse and bless and whatever you want to do, just accept them for who they are. Accept that what they are doing is what they are doing as unto the Lord. Whatever you're doing it, do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord. That's what the Bible says to us. You know, the Colossians 3:21 says, Father, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to embitter our children and say, you better get up and go to church, you know.
Right.
You know, and they have this thing in their mind like, I hate you, I hate you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We know, we were kids too, and we had all of these things going on in our heads, and building up resentment and anger and bitterness starts right there.
Mm-hmm.
So on this point, you know, mental wellness, healthy mindsets.
Yes.
For me, it's more about facilitating a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes. And the Bible says that I have to think about those things. Whatsoever is lovely, of good report. You know, we need to train ourselves to think about the positive things. What is God doing? When we moved to Costa Rica as missionaries, we told our children it was an adventure.
Yeah.
You are special. Not everybody gets to go, but you do. And they saw it that way, and they received it as an adventure.
Wow.
So it's all about the perspective that you have. It makes a difference.
Yes. And that's what we do when we do outreaches in the communities. Come on, we've got an adventure. We've got a community project. Mm-hmm. We're going to work together. We're collaborating. It's not a one-man show. Everything we do, you know, is to gather the people, bring everyone into that unity. And it's so amazing. You know, I hear the sound of all the voices coming together, just glorifying God. Imagine a city, a community, just coming together, praising God out in the streets, you know, without having to have behind church walls or anywhere. And I'm just thinking about the freedom there is in that kind of worship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see these things on social media where they're singing in places and people just gather around the parking lots or in the square or whatever. And I mean, we should have more of that, right?
Yes,
taking the worship out there. Sharon, I'm so blessed by what you're speaking about, you know, but the practical application that we look at for our serving our children and also bringing that kind of joy, it shouldn't be a weight, you know, to serve God. It should be a pleasurable thing, because I like Philippians 2:14. It says, you do all things without grumbling.
Yes.
or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish. Mm, you know?
That's beautiful.
So the grumbling, the complaining, where does all of those things come from?
It's not from God.
The evil that is in their own heart. Mm. So we need to celebrate. I always say celebrate the milestones with your children. Celebrate mm-hmm. the wins with them.
Yes.
Celebrate their little victories, you know, even as a family, as a couple. Celebrate. Like, I will go home this week and say to my husband, I want to celebrate you for allowing me to do this and do that, you
yes.
know, and just make him feel special. Mm-hmm. Celebrate the ministry. They don't even say anything to them. I feel like you can just celebrate because Jesus celebrated everything.
Yes.
He was always in a place where they were celebrating, you know. Mm-hmm. We need to celebrate life.
Yes.
You know?
And that brings encouragement and it mm-hmm. lifts your spirit. It lifts your soul. Mm-hmm. People want to be appreciated. People
they
want
do.
To know you care.
Yeah. So the consequences that we have, Sharon, consequences for not applying any of the things that we spoke about right now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? All the consequences.
Oh, it's just, there's so many consequences. I think the number one is that you miss the plan of God
mm-hmm.
because God has order. And mm-hmm. if we don't follow him and his discernment for our lives, then we're missing out. And
yeah.
the blessings of God that are waiting for us, we've missed it. And if we become selfish and take control of our own lives and do what we want to do, then we reap what the results of that is.
Mm.
And that can be a broken marriage. It can be children that are resentful.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a ministry that's disjointed.
Mm.
But if we walk in the Spirit, then we can fulfill the desires of God.
Absolutely.
And then he says, well done.
Yes. We walk by faith, not by sight.
Yes.
Walking in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like that. You know, sometimes we just want to so easily get out into the flesh and see what everyone else is doing. But God's pulling us back and say, do it my way, not your way.
It's the better
way. Let's do it your way. We're going to break for a song and we'll be back shortly. So we're back. Wow, wow, wow. Wonderful, wonderful. Traveling with our children, making them aware of what it's all about in your ministry and just finding that connection, that I like that word, interconnectedness.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God is in the center of it all. He brings us together for his plan and purpose, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Sharon, we've been speaking about mental wellness and awareness of how to navigate through children and not cause resentment and the consequences of that when we don't do what we know we ought to do, you know. We're doing it from not the, I don't want to use the word wrong, but we're not doing it a way that is pleasable, that will keep the peace. Let's mm-hmm. put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to speak today in this last section. I would like Sharon to share with you what her views are. And Sharon, I know that there are a lot of blurred boundaries, mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to work and home, you know, so setting those boundaries. We know we spoke a little bit about that. Do you want to just elaborate a little bit more on what that looks like to you?
Yes, of course. I think the number one thing I would want to say is that you can't pattern your life with someone else's.
Mm.
That your relationship, for example, with your husband is different than others. So you can't say, well, you know, this is the way they do it. We need to do it like them. Because you have to come in agreement with your husband as to what is right for his needs, what is right for your needs. And it may be different than those others around you. So many times we measure ourselves according to other families and we feel like we don't measure up. But it's because we're using the wrong standard. You know, and what's good for us needs to be good before God and in agreement with your husband and yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with my traveling, a lot of people don't understand how I can leave my husband for, you know, 10 days alone while I go off the world and do mm-hmm. these things.
Mm-hmm.
What they don't realize is that he used to do that to me. He traveled before.
You're not getting him back, are you?
So, oh, no, it's just my turn.
Yes, it's your turn now.
But, you know, they don't understand the details. They don't understand the commitment. They don't understand the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody is different.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times we look at others to mm-hmm. measure ourselves, and that's just not good.
Yeah.
We need to allow God to be the measurement.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I like that because, you know, ministry often doesn't have clear off hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, I'm going to be off now and off here. You know, it's like a, not 24/7, but I would say more 18/7 or something mm-hmm. like that, you know, because I do have my own personal time and family and all of that. So there's the emergency, there's the counseling and all the events going on, including your family time. So mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes very clearly says it's a time for everything.
Yes.
There's a time for us to do everything. So setting clear boundaries mm-hmm. for families that can either burn or they can feel neglected yes. when we don't do that. So I think this part about boundaries between work and home, some people have their day job, their 9-to-5 job, they have ministry, and then they have their own families to take care mm-hmm. of, and then there's personal time. There's so many segments mm-hmm. in a person's life that you have to balance and set boundaries with. You know, there's nothing wrong in saying no. People think no is an ugly word. Did you ever have to say no to somebody?
Many times. I personally don't have a problem saying no. You know, and again, you have to have discernment because you need to say no to the right things and yes mm-hmm. to the right things. Mm-hmm. But as you said in Ecclesiastes, you know, there is a time, a season for everything. And we have to be sensitive to that. And the way that starts is by giving your day over in prayer. Mm. And when you give it to God, there's time for all the things that He has assigned for you to do.
Right. That's so true. The thing with unrealistic expectations from congregation can also be very, very tiring. Right. Or not tiring is not the word. Maybe can be the demand is so high sometimes, you know. Mm-hmm. How does that work for you?
I have learned that you cannot please all the people all the time. And if you try to, you know, as an example, when we were pastoring for 20 years, you know, it's too hot in the auditorium. It's too cold. The music's too loud. The music's too quiet. You needed to preach longer. You preach too long. You know, everyone has an opinion. And if you try to please people, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
Because you just can't. It's impossible. So you have to please God. You have to be gracious with people and love people. But they can't dictate what you do before God. It has to be between you and the Lord.
Yeah.
And then as much as you can, you make people happy. But mostly they need the word of God. They need the voice of God in their lives. And that's what, as leaders, that's what we give them.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you find, we find that there are these people that you love them in the congregation. And sometimes they may be the one that gives the most money to the church, or they do the most things for the ministry, and they want to call the shots. Mm-hmm. You know, they have these expectations that they want to put on you. And, oh, we've got to do it this way and do it that way. You know, I'm like, oh, God, please help me. You know, Galatians 1 says it so beautifully. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God?
Yes.
You know, so I'm like, what do you do, Sharon?
As much as I can, I please God, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I even have people that were on staff with us, and they would come to me and say, Sharon, you're just doing too much. You need to offload some things. You need to give them away. Mm-hmm. And I would tell them, I said, I am happy to do that. You show me how, because there are some things that only I can do. And before God, I have to do those until God releases me from it.
Correct.
And so we have to, again, we have to go back to God. It's not an excuse.
Yeah.
It's not a way out. It's truth. It's revelation
true.
That my life is, my steps are ordered of Him.
Exactly.
And He shows me what to do.
Well, sure. There are things we just cannot give on to others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, we don't have the release.
Right.
And that is beautiful. I like that. I need to remember that, because I also have that. People say to me, even my leaders say, you are so busy, you know, you need to offload some of those things or pass it on to others. Then I will look at them and I'll say, pray for me.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because then I keep on thinking, now why do three people say the same thing? Mm-hmm. God, am I taking on too much? You know, but again, I don't hear from the Lord to do anything about it. So mm-hmm. I cannot do anything.
Exactly.
I think that was just for me. Thank you very much. Listeners, whoever's listening to that, if that's for you, take it, you know,
yes.
Do something about it. So the thing is, we need to carry each other's burdens. Although the Bible says that in Galatians 6:2, but constant giving without renewal can lead to compassion fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
I like the compassion fatigue is a very big thing in my ministry for people, you know, that I do minister and help, mm-hmm. especially spiritual leaders. You know, we don't want to have emotional depletion and those kind of things, you know.
Yes.
So what works for you, Sharon, in that space?
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's important to be compassionate and emotional. We are emotional creatures.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we have to have reality
mm-hmm.
and not be led by our emotions. Because mm-hmm. if we lead by emotions, then we will give and give and give, and mm-hmm. there will be burnout. And the way to keep from burning out is to stay close to the Lord
mm-hmm.
and let Him tell you what to do, what not to do. And we get past that emotion and into the Spirit.
Yes.
And so we have to have emotion, and there's a balance there, because we need to be compassionate with people mm-hmm. and reach out to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't be in our own strength, because mm-hmm. then we start getting puffed up and proud, thinking we have done something.
Mm-hmm.
But if we constantly give it to God, then He gets all the glory and all the credit.
That is so true. I like that. You know, being burdened in with certain things is actually a really a big deal for a lot of people in ministry, but neglecting your marriage relationship in for the lack of a better word, in not having to freak out like, oh my goodness, you know, I haven't really spent time with my spouse, or I haven't spoken to him today, or whatever, you know, balancing that, you know, how do you do it?
That's a tough one. And again, I think it's an individual for each person. It's different. Each couple, it's different. But in Ephesians 5, it talks about how to treat your husband. Mm. And they really desire respect. Mm-hmm. It's a God-given desire. Mm-hmm. And if we respect them and we show them that honor, then we will want to be with them and to serve them. And in a perfect relationship, the husband will want to cherish, as the Bible says, cherish their wives and serve them. Mm-hmm. And so it's a give and give. And who can outgive the other, as we joke about, my husband and I, about who can give the most to each other. And that becomes a relationship that's joyful.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me want to do more for him,
mm-hmm.
because I know that he so appreciates it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know he's going to turn around and do something to bless me. And so it's a give and give.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. You know, I like that. I really like that. I hope someone is listening out there. You can do the same or do better. If you know what we can do better on our side, leave us a comment. You know, let us know what works for you and how others can be blessed by doing something like that as well. I love that. I have a thing where I bought a special gold cutlery for my husband and a beautiful base plate and a plate especially for him. So when that time of honor comes, you know, I'll wash his feet and just bless him. And then he gets so shy. He gets very shy. And then like almost as if to say, no, honey, you don't have to. But he knows the principle. He knows what God is doing, you know, and he also knows why I have to do it. So there are times we just got to flow as the Spirit of the Lord leads us, you know, no matter where you are and what you're busy with, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. When he tells you, go and hug him. Now, I'm the physical touch person. He's the words of affirmation and acts of service person. But I have to go out and reach his hand and touch him and hold it, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't expect him just to come out and touch me, although he does it naturally, but we have to connect on that way. But I don't want to go too much into the love languages right now. That's for another topic for another time. But we're going to go on our short break and we'll close shortly. And so stay tuned. Well, we're back and so sad to come to this part where we have to say so long. But I'm going to ask Sharon just to wrap up and say a prayer with you and we'll take it from there.
Yes. First of all, I'd like to encourage our listeners that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So take the points that minister to you and then leave the rest in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, we come before you. We thank you, Lord God, that you give us the mind of Christ. So I pray over each one, Lord, that you will continue the work that you've begun, that you will show them little by little how to be better at all of these things, a mom, a minister, and a spouse. And we just give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, listeners and friends and family out there, you know, we have to stay tuned with what God has called us to do and not go out of the lane. Don't go out of your lane. Stay in your lane. Be intentional about what God's called you to be. I want you to join us again next week. Leave your comments. God's word is designed for us to have mental wellness and the importance of setting boundaries, having spiritual rest, and how you can thrive in your purpose without sacrificing your soul. So whether you're a ministry leader, a parent, professional, or student, you'll discover that God's peace isn't just possible. His peace is promised. So with the inspiring guests that we have this month, real conversations and soul-soothing encouragement, this show, Couples of Destiny, is your invitation to exhale, refocus, and let God renew your mind and restore your soul. So tune in again and be refreshed, because balance isn't a luxury. It's a part of your calling. We've got to stay balanced, spirit, soul, and body. So thanks for hanging out with me today on Couples of Destiny with Sharon Williams, all the way from the US. I'm taking off to the airport right now. So if today encouraged you deeply, share it with a friend, leave a review, and send us a message. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great day. Bye for now.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.